Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor Anne. I'm going to be talking this morning about the story of Martha and Mary. I just want to start with a story about myself. And this happened quite a number of years ago. We were living at our other acreage. But this story had quite an impact on me. So it came up in my mind when I read about Mary and Martha. And so this was on a Saturday morning. And as I usually do on Saturdays, I clean the house. So I was, you know, dusting, vacuuming, washing floors, cleaning bathrooms, that sort of thing. And Lawrence also had his honey-do list, and he was outside. And I thought he was working. But I looked out the dining room window, and there he was talking to the neighbor over the fence. And I thought, well, you know, that's all right. So I kept doing my work, and a little while later, I looked out the window, and he was still chatting to the neighbor. I started getting a little upset, but I continued doing my work, working hard, and thinking about him not working. And I started getting more and more upset, more and more angry. And I looked out the window, and there he was. He was still talking to the neighbor. By then, I thought, okay, I had it. I was just really seething. So I called him. I said, Lawrence, really, you need to come in. I need you. So he did. He came in and he asked me, well, what's up? What do you need me for? Well, the truth is, I didn't need him. I was just so angry at him for talking to the neighbor while I was working so hard. And I was thinking, if you can talk to the neighbor and I'm working, well, that's not fair. But I felt pretty bad afterwards about it. And I'll get back to this in a bit. But as I said, we are going to focus on the story of Martha and Mary this morning. We're continuing on our series called Meals with Jesus. How Jesus really wanted to eat with people. He wanted to build relationships with people. And it didn't matter who it was to him. He just went anywhere that he was welcome or invited, and sometimes he even invited himself over. So let's read the story this morning. It's in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42, at the home of Martha and Mary. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And we pray that your word would sink into our hearts and minds, that we would take away today what you want us to learn and to apply to our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the theme and goal of this message is that it's a story about the difference between doing for Jesus and being with Jesus. Are we distracted and overly busy and trying to work for Jesus? Or are we actually sitting at his feet, learning and listening from him? So I want to go to this passage again and to picture it. This is the picture it method of Bible study. And this story, I think, is pretty easy to picture. Jesus is on his way with his disciples, but then it says that he went to Bethany, to Martha's house. So it seems that the disciples went on somewhere else, and Jesus went alone to Martha and Mary's house. Now, it seems that he probably went there quite often. They were his close friends. And also, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. And so, yeah, he spent time with them. He felt comfortable going to their house. Seemed that he could just drop in unannounced. Jesus did not have a place of his own, and so he depended on other people to give him meals and lodging. And so Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. It seemed a good distance away, so the crowds wouldn't follow him there. So it was a place of quiet for him. Now, Martha got pretty busy making an elaborate meal, it seems, for Jesus, which is probably why she got so upset that Mary wasn't helping her. Now, the food in Israel is delicious. Lawrence and I went on a tour of Israel a number of years ago, and we were pretty impressed with the food. The Mediterranean diet is probably one of the healthiest in the world, and just delicious homemade pita bread with different dips like tzatziki and hummus, delicious fresh tomatoes, cucumbers, avocado, olives, and dates. It's just a beautiful, beautiful food, really, really tasty. And so I can imagine that in that day and age of Martha's time in Bible times, that the food was probably not that much different, because that is what the land of Israel produces, that type of food. And so also Martha had to cook from scratch. It wasn't like she could just drive to Costco or to M&M's and pick up a ready-made meal, right? And so what I want to ask to talk about a bit is the character of Martha. And how I want to divide this into 2 points. How Jesus sees us, Jesus knows us, and Jesus loves us the same. And then the second is that Jesus wants us for a friend. So I want to focus on the first, is that Jesus sees us, Jesus knows us, and Jesus still loves us. So Martha was probably a type A personality. She was a go-getter. She was a person who wanted to be in control. She set high goals for herself, and she wanted other people to help her with those goals. And she was probably also a person that really was driven, wanted to work hard. And it seemed that she really wanted to work hard for Jesus here as well. And then Martha tells Mary that, or tells Jesus to tell Mary to help her. "Look, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Her distraction had made her really oblivious to who Jesus was. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever gotten so distracted and so busy and so worried that you lost sight of Jesus? And what does Jesus say to Martha? "Martha, Martha, you're so worried and upset about many things." Now, the interesting thing here is that he says her name twice. And that's really important. In Semitic languages, the language of Aramaic that Jesus spoke, if you say a word twice, you're really magnifying that word. But if you say a name twice, it's always said with emotion, with weeping. And there's an intensity of emotion here. Now, this has happened in different parts of the Bible. In the Old Testament, King David weeps for his son Absalom when he dies. And he says, "Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son." And he is grieving for his son. In the New Testament, when Jesus goes into Jerusalem, he is weeping for Jerusalem, and he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I longed to take you under my wings as a mother hen takes her chicks under her wings. He is weeping for Jerusalem. And then on the cross, he doesn't just say, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And in this passage, Martha, Martha, you're so worried and upset about many things. Seems that Jesus was sad. He's grieving here. Martha, you don't get it. He was, sad that she wasn't getting it, that her works, what she was really attempting to do here, wasn't really necessary, that the better thing was to do what Mary was doing, and that's sitting at his feet. And so he's not really angry at her or chastising her. No, he's just speaking to her in love and compassion. And so you can imagine, he is feeling some grief here. And what does Martha think about this? Was she upset at Jesus for saying this, or did she take it in the tone that Jesus was saying it, with love and compassion, and seeing that, she was not choosing the better thing. Mary was. So the second point is that Jesus wants you for a friend. He says in verse 42, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." And so for Martha, his tone is one of compassion and one of love. In other words, "Sorry, Martha, no, I'm not going to tell Mary to help you. I want you to actually join us and sit at my feet also. Choose the better way." So he's saying to Martha, "Look, Martha, I want your heart to be in the right place. You're so busy, you're so distracted, and you're working so hard, and you're doing it for me, but it's not really what I'm asking of you. I want you to understand that it's my grace that saves you, and not your works." In Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, "All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We can't do anything to increase what Christ has done for us on the cross. We cannot add to that with our own works. That would just diminish and cheapen Jesus' grace." So when Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," it's not condemnation, but an invitation to come. Put aside your agenda. Come and join me and Mary. You know, you're so bothered. You're so distracted. You're so upset. You're so angry. You're so judgmental. That doesn't serve God. Some of you, like me, may have had or still have the Martha syndrome. That is, you want everyone to know how much work you're doing, and you want other people to do that work as well, and that much work. And so with Martha, do you see the progression? She's working in the kitchen preparing this meal. And she's living up to the expectations of being a good hostess, which there's nothing wrong with. But what the problem is that she becomes so angry at Mary. And then she starts doubting Jesus' love for her. She becomes skeptical of Jesus. Like, "Don't you care about me and what I'm doing?" And then she's jealous as well. She wants Mary to join her in the kitchen. If she can't sit at Jesus' feet, which is probably what she really wants to do, then, well, Mary shouldn't have that privilege either. She should really be working. And so, have you ever found yourself in that situation where you tell God that other people should be doing what you're doing? She didn't want Mary to enjoy the teaching of Jesus if she couldn't enjoy it herself. But the telling thing here is that Jesus never asked Martha for such an elaborate meal, did he? Maybe his expectations were a whole lot lower than that. A very simple piece of pita bread and a slice of tomato and cucumber and hummus would have been good enough. He's not asking for a 5-course meal. And so it was Martha who put those high expectations on herself and also on Mary. As we've been focusing a lot on our house churches, I don't know about how you do it in your house church, whether you all always go to the same person's house and they prepare a meal, or whether you take turns going to each other's homes preparing a meal. But the thing is, the meal doesn't have to be elaborate. The higher the bar is set, the more people may feel like, no, I can't do that. I can't cook that well. And so, yeah, just lowering the bar and saying simple is just fine is probably a better way to go. In the book, A Meal with Jesus, Tim Chester says this: hospitality is providing a safe place for God's Spirit to move. Setting a table, cooking a meal, washing the dishes is providing a context in which people feel loved and welcome, and where God's Spirit can be at work in their lives. Hospitality is a very ordinary business, but in its ordinariness is its real worth. Most people live in the ordinary, and that's where we need to reach them. We don't need to prove ourselves. We are justified by the finished work of Christ. All the proving has been done by Him. Hospitality only becomes a burden when we're driven to prove ourselves or to impress others. We're witnesses of grace, not to good works, and certainly not to good cooking. Our meals don't have to be elaborate, and the house doesn't have to be spotless. End of quote. So yeah, as we've been working or talking about the acronym BLESS, I just want to point that out again. We are to begin with prayer. We are to listen. L is for listen. Listen to each other's stories. E is to eat together. S is to serve one another. How can you help the guests that you have? How can you be the hands and feet of Christ to them? And S is story. Tell the story of Jesus to them. And so before we get all busy doing, pray. What is the Lord calling you to do? When you are in line with what God is calling you to do, you won't get all distracted and busy and lose sight of Jesus. The thing is, we don't need to do that. When we follow the way God has called us to follow Him, we won't get burned out. And we will be filled with the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to do what God has called us to do. You see, the thing is, God doesn't call the equipped, but He equips the called, just like He calls us to serve. You see, the thing is, it's not that Jesus didn't want Martha to serve Him a meal. That's not it. And we really want you to understand this. So listen, grace is first and service comes after that. So first be a Mary and then be a Martha. They're like two sides of the same coin. It isn't that we should only be like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because, yes, work needs to be done. We still need to eat. We still need to do things to serve God. But our heart needs to be in the right place. That's what it's about. Where is our heart? What is our motivation for serving? And what are our priorities? It's not like Jesus is condemning Martha for what she's doing. He probably was hungry and needed something to eat. But it was just that she was becoming just too upset, too angry. And that's no way to serve God. And so when we serve out of the right motives, out of love for people, out of having our heart in the right place, that is a better way to serve. The thing is, we cannot add to the work that Jesus has done to save us. He died on the cross for us, and we cannot add to that. We cannot work for our own righteousness. It is Jesus Christ's righteousness that makes us righteous. So pray that the Lord will show you His grace if you don't already experience that in your life. And know the grace of God in your life. Do what you do. Serve God out of acknowledging the grace of God. God doesn't want our service. He wants our hearts. You've probably heard us say many times, God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Same with service. God doesn't want your service. He wants your heart. And then when you serve from the right motive, having your heart in the right place, then we serve God in a more honorable way. So I was like Martha. I was focused on my own works. I definitely did a lot for God, but then I looked at other people and was judgmental of them because they weren't doing what I was doing. And I was like, God, why aren't you making them do things as well? Why do I feel like I'm working all by myself, doing all this stuff for you? And the thing is, I'm doing it for you, God. So, but when I really looked at my heart, then I realized that what my motivation was more for getting accolades from people. I wanted people to see what I was doing. And so I was serving from the wrong motives. It took me a long time to understand the grace of God. And that, yeah, by my works, I wasn't going to help myself at all in the eyes of God. My heart had to be in the right place first. And that story that I told you at the beginning about Lawrence talking to the neighbor, well, as I said, afterwards I felt pretty bad. I felt kind of ashamed of myself, to be truthful. It was like Jesus said to me, Anne, you're so distracted and so busy, but Lawrence really has chosen the better thing. Talking to a neighbor is important. Building relationships with neighbors who don't know me, that's important. I felt chastised. I felt put in my place, but I also felt the great love of Jesus for me, and it changed me. Jack Deere, in his book called Surprised by the Voice of God, says this: Mary chose the better thing, spending time with Jesus. Martha didn't realize that Jesus was the host. He was the offerer and the offering. He was the course in the banquet that Martha should have chosen. Life comes at us like a banquet. There's so many wonderful courses to choose from: professions, vocations, friends, husbands, wives, possessions, etc. Mary looked at this banquet and she chose the better thing. Out of all the courses, only one is one is the key to life. Only one opens the ears to the voice of God, and Mary chose it. The course she chose was friendship with Jesus. Jesus wants you for a friend, first of all. So let's get really practical here. What are we to do now? We're also to choose the better thing, choose the right thing, like Mary did. Make time to spend at Jesus' feet. Make time to spend in quiet and put aside all of your distractions. Put aside your phone. Have a quiet time with Jesus. Mary is the kind of friend that Jesus is seeking. She doesn't want anything from him but just his presence. Some people might want to hear God's voice in order to become more prosperous or more successful. But that isn't what God wants out of this. He wants us to just be with him, to spend time in his presence. Friendship with Jesus has always been the key to recognizing his voice. John 10, verse 4 says this: His sheep follow him because they know his voice. That is Jesus' voice. And John 10, 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I lay my life down for my sheep. Remember, Jesus laid down his life for us, and it is out of love and gratitude and thankfulness for that, that we then are also friends with Jesus. He wants us to be friends with him before he wants our service. So the application, I just want to give you one application this morning. And that is, how do we develop a friendship with Jesus like Mary had? Make it a priority in your life to spend time with God in prayer. Have a place where you can do that, where you have your Bible, a journal, a pen, a commentary, a devotional book, or soul food. And yeah, spend that quiet time. So how do you actually do that on a consistent basis? I think that's the hard thing. So one thing to consistently choose, the better thing, is to make a habit of doing so. Oftentimes we think of habits as bad habits, right? But there are good habits. And in the book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, he says, to develop a good habit is that we need a habit loop. We need a cue. We need a routine. And then we reap the rewards. So it's just like you get up in the morning because of your alarm going off, and that's your cue. You get up, you take a shower, you get dressed, you eat breakfast, you brush your teeth. That's your routine. And then the reward is you get out of the house on time to get to work, and you haven't forgotten anything. So in spending time with God, you need a cue. What would be a good cue for you? You have to think about that. Would it be your alarm clock, maybe, or just a specific time, like right after breakfast? That is the time for me. And have a routine. Like I said, a place where you can go, where you have what you need. And then your reward is the presence of Jesus with you. That is an incredible reward. You can put aside your distractions, your busyness, your worries of life, and actually feel Jesus' presence with you, his peace flooding your heart and mind, him speaking to you through the word, the gospel, or through the Psalms, or whatever book of the Bible really speaks to you. Many passages in Isaiah are what I turn to, or the Psalms, and that is your reward. You are in the presence of Jesus, and you feel his love and his compassion for you. And then you can go out and serve him. So choose the better thing. Amen. So I just want to take a few moments to reflect on what God's word is to us this morning. I want you to think about three questions. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you in response to his word, this passage we read this morning about Martha and Mary? And second, what does the Lord want you to feel right now? And third, what does Jesus want you to do in response to his grace? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you have done for us. That you suffered and died for us, but you rose again from the dead and you defeated death so that we can live in victory. Thank you that you see each one of us, that you know us intimately, and that you still love us despite our foibles, our brokenness, and our pettiness. Help us to see that you want a relationship with us, a friendship. Help us to make the time to spend with you, just sitting at your feet and learning from you, drinking in your love for us. Help us to be like Mary first, to understand your grace, and then to do what you call us to do. Lord, we are humbled by your mercy and your grace freely given to us. To your name be all the praise, honor, and glory. Amen.